Would you bow with me as I have a word over the offering? Dear Heavenly Father, truly thankful for this house that we can gather in this day. Strive to be one heart, one mind with our wonderful family here. Father, we're thankful for the rain this week. Replenish our crops to sustain our households. Father, we ask you to bless these people and the money they give up this day, and may the people in charge of it use it wisely. We love you so much, and we thank you for everything you've provided for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We should welcome each of you here this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is truly a special service for many of us today, but it's especially important for me, as my brethren are going to be ordained, and I can go a little further than my brethren in Christ, but also my grandson-in-law is going to be ordained to the office of elder, my great-grandson to the office of deacon, and I guess you just call a brethren going to be ordained to the office of priest, and Richard. But one thing I want to bring out, kind of interesting, I sent in the bulletin Thursday afternoon or Thursday evening, went to the Bible school Sunday, or Thursday night, and George Mefford was reading the scripture and pointed it out that I'm going to use for the scripture reading this morning. So I thought that was pretty interesting, that the exact same paragraphs or verses, which is taken from Moroni 7, 32 to 35. And the office of their ministry is to call men into repentance and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenant of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. By so doing, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof. And after this manner bringeth to pass the Father the covenant which he hath made unto the children of men. And Christ hath said, if ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. This thing can't go down too far, I hope, here. Let's open our service hymn, using hymn number 46. Brother Ed Landis, our deacon, will bring us the invocation. Our speaker this morning is Brother Phil Cam of Zarahemla Branch. And I haven't been very well acquainted with him until this last week or two I was introduced to him. But he's going to be our speaker this morning and bring the challenge to our priesthood as well as the word of the Lord to each and every one of us. Hymn number 46.
This day, and thank you for your many blessings. Pray your spirit will be with us this day, and pray you'll be with those being ordained and be with our speaker. We pray and ask this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
The reading that I have for your hearing this morning comes from the 83rd section of the Doctrine and Covenants. For those who are familiar with it, this is the scripture on priesthood. This is one that Joseph Smith brought in September 22nd and 23rd in 1832. Now, I'm not going to read, obviously, the complete section because it's rather lengthy, but I do want to focus on the lineage that's identified here in this book. Starting at 83:2c, and the sons of Moses, according to their holy priesthood, which is received under the hands of his father-in-law Jethro, and Jethro received it under the hands of Caleb, and Caleb received it under the hands of Elihu, and Elihu under the hands of Jeremy, and Jeremy under the hands of Gad, and Gad under the hand of Isaiah, and Isaiah received it under the hand of God. And Isaiah also lived in the day of Abraham and was blessed of him. And Abraham received the priesthood from Melchizedek, who received it through the lineage of his fathers even until Noah. And from Noah till Enoch through the lineage of their fathers, and from Enoch to Abel, who was slain by the conspiracy of his brother, who received the priesthood by the commandments of God, by the hand of his father Adam, who was the first man. Which priesthood continueth in the church of God in all generations, and is without beginning of days, end of years. And the Lord confirmed a priesthood also upon Aaron and his seed throughout all their generations, which priesthood also continueth and abideth forever with the priesthood which is after the holiest order of God. May the good Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word.
Please join us on the chorus. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
If this starts sinking, don't worry about it. We got it covered. As introduced, I am Philip O'Cam, a priest from Zarahemla Branch. I've been a member of this church since early 1984. Prior to that, I was a member of the Catholic Church. I can't tell you how much I really feel that the good Lord is really blessing you this morning, and I want you to understand that I had no idea what your subject matter was for Sunday school prior to coming. And you're going to hear a little bit of my testimony, the testimony of what brought me into this church today. But you're also going to hear about how the good Lord calls his men to the ministry, and how he effectually works in their lives. And hopefully you'll see how that testimony of mine and the work of the priesthood all come together. I first came to know this gospel by hearing the word, and by seeing it displayed in the hearts of those that professed a belief in this church. As I've already told you, I was a Catholic. I was born to good Catholic parents. I was one of nine children. That's out in the California, the Pasadena, Arcadia area. If you're familiar with it, then you know some of my background already. But I used to assist the Catholic priest in the Mass. I was an altar boy. It was something that few young men were able to do and were felt called and led to do. I had to learn a small portion of Latin, because at the time when I was assisting the priest, there was certain responses that the altar boy brought that were said in Latin. And one of them, De Nomine Patri et Spiritus Sanctus Sanctus. Of course, that's about all I remember of the Latin. But that is in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Okay. Anyway, through learning to serve a priest, to assist a priest, if you will, and you know, one thing that the altar boy did is he brought the water and wine for the priest for washing his hands and for his preparation of the emblems, because they always serve the communion during every service. But I don't want to focus on that so much as what happened when I met my wife Laura in Southern California, and soon became associated with this church, this reorganized church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They held a annual church birthday barbecue in Temple City, California. The people, they'd cook up I don't know how many briskets with barbecue sauce. They had all the trimmings, the stuff that I don't eat anymore, but all the trimmings. I'm just recently gone vegan for other reasons, but don't cast any stones at me yet. The Lord's still not done with me. Anyway, the thing is, and I don't want to get too long in this because we need to focus on what's going to happen here in the next few moments in this service, but let me make it short. I assisted in washing the dishes, and I really enjoyed meeting the people there at Temple City. Laura's aunt and uncle attended there, and I actually knew one of their sons I used to attend high school with. And I really really enjoyed the fellowship of the saints and assisting. And the Lord at that time was drawing me in, really drawing me in. Well, about a year and a half into our marriage, the Lord blessed us with a daughter. We have our first child. And if you know anything about the Catholic faith, it's required almost, if not part of the rules of their church, that you have your child baptized. Okay? And that's with the sprinkling that we talked about in Sunday school class this morning. And so the question that came about, obviously my mother asked, so when are you going to have young little Kelly baptized? And I says, let me get back to you on that, Mom. And I discussed it with the wife. You know, she opened up her Book of Mormon, and she studied. She said, well, we could ask the elders, and we went and talked to the elders. And, do you know what the elders said? The elders said, well, the baptism is just like a baby blessing, because my wife had told me about a baby blessing, and I went and asked them about the blessing versus baptism. And much to her chagrin, and to my lack of or ignorance of the gospel, they said, oh, it's just, you know, baptism is just like a baby blessing. For those of you who know this gospel, you know that not to be the case, okay? Once again, the wife opened up her scriptures, and she turns to the 8th chapter of the book of Moroni. And these are the words of his father, Mormon. And I have those highlighted here in my notes. And if you start at the 5th verse, you will understand that Mormon speaks, and he says, this is, I have learned the truth. And there have been disputations among you concerning the baptism of your little children. And down in the 19th verse, he says, for I know that God is not a partial God, neither a changeable being, but he is unchangeable from all eternity to all eternity. Little children cannot repent. Wherefore, it is awful wickedness to deny the pure mercies of God unto them, for they are all alive in him because of his mercy. And he that saith that children need baptism denieth the mercies of Christ, and setteth not the atonement of him and the power of redemption. Woe unto such, for they are in danger of death, hell, and the endless torment. While not being a member of the church, the Holy Spirit still impressed upon me that my daughter, our daughter, should be blessed into the RLDS Church. We arranged that ceremony to take place. We approached her uncle, who was a deacon in the church, and I asked if he could be a portion of that service, and he offered up a prayer. And I tell you, even as the Spirit is bearing witness to me now, that the Holy Spirit was there during that service with such power and such authority, there was not a dry eye in the service. And so began my journey into this church. There was something there that I've never felt, being a member of the Catholic Church since a little boy growing up. And here I was, I believe 24 years of age. I could be wrong at that. The wife will correct me no matter what. But the important thing was, God knew
where he wanted me to be. And it wasn't with Catholicism. But that started my journey into this church. I have not regretted one moment of it. You know, we were married into Temple City Congregation, and the only person that was late to the church was the Catholic priest I asked to come bless the wedding. You know, we were married by an elder, Bob Gore, in Temple City. And the only one that was late to the wedding was the Catholic priest. It was a hint, and I should have paid close attention to it right at that time. Needless to say, not to make light of it, because everybody has a faith of origin. Some are born into the church, and in some points, in some references, I am envious of that. But in other aspects, I am joyful to the fact that I had the experience that I did in Temple City. We had been talking about moving to the Midwest because, in case you didn't know it, we honeymooned down in the Ozarks. My wife's father was working for Silver Dollar City, designed a lot of the facades there. And I fell in love with the Midwest. I mean, constant blue skies. You never see those in California. You see nothing but gray at times. The only times you ever really saw a blue sky was either you were right on the coast, or the Santa Ana wind condition came in and it blew all the smog out to the ocean, and you had blue skies. The important thing is, God brought me into this gospel, and I've not turned back from it whatsoever. You know, I was baptized in the basement of Stone Church the year in January of the year 156 came down, and you know, here I was, a new member of the church, and then there was all this disruption because all of a sudden women are going to be allowed to be ordained into the ministry. But the Lord had a better design. He still knew where He wanted me, and He still knew where He wanted us as a family, and we bounced around to several congregations. I'm sure most of people in this church have done so as well. We ended up at Independence Branch, where I had the beautiful honor of being able to sit under the ministry of Lynn Smith for the short period of time that he was still left on this earth. And he was a neighbor. He lived across the street from me. I didn't know that was a patriarch of the church. But anyway, there's been quite a few miracles along those lines in my life. But we need to get back to this message, and I think you'll see how they intertwine as I go on. In section 83 of the Doctrine and Covenants, we find the holy priesthood being unveiled. We find the fact that God, through lineage, He passed it down, father to son, and such. And we also find that there are many blessings that you will receive. In fact, you are going to be recipients today of seeing the power of godliness displayed here in the ordinance of ordination. That's what is spoken of here in section 83, paragraph 3c. Therefore, in the ordinance thereof, the power of godliness is manifest, and without the ordinances thereof and the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness is not manifest unto men in the flesh. For without this, no man can see the face of God, even the Father, and live. And as we all are going to have experience, the opportunity to experience this today, I pray that we are all prepared. And at this time, I want you to continue to pray in your hearts and your minds for those candidates and those who would be doing, performing the ordination. You can also offer up another prayer for me while I'm continuing to preach here. But those candidates who are going to be ordained, brothers, I look forward to serving with you in the ministry. I look forward to having opportunity to share in a prayer and a testimony with you. I want you to know that you can call on me or any of my counselors, as I am a president of the of the priest quorum. I want you to know that you can call on me to assist you. And if I can't do it, I will find someone that will. God gives you brethren a promise in the section 83 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Starting at verse 6:3, he says, "For whoso is faithful unto the obtaining of these two priesthoods which I have spoken, and magnifying their calling, and are sanctified by the Spirit unto the renewing of their bodies, they become the sons of Moses and of Aaron, and the seed of Abraham, and the church, and the kingdom of the elect of God." And also, "Those who receive this priesthood receive me, saith the Lord. For he receiveth my servants. For he that receiveth my servants receiveth me. And he that receiveth my Father, and he that receiveth my Father receiveth my Father's kingdom. Therefore, all that my Father hath shall be given unto him, and this according to the oath and covenant which belongeth to the priesthood." He that receiveth my servants. I now am going to speak to the body of people here. This is a little plug that I can put in for home ministry. I ask you that you invite these brethren into your home to minister to your needs, to actually question them of their faith. I ask you to present unto them your concerns in the gospel. And if you don't know the gospel, ask them to explain it to you. Just like during the Sunday school hour. Here we're talking about presenting the gospel to those who have not heard it from the fashion that we know it. This gospel was taught to Adam. In the fourth chapter of Genesis, about in the sixth verse, you will find that an angel appears to Adam and asks him why he is performing these sacrifices. And he says, "I know not, except I am commanded." And so he is obedient to that which he was commanded to do. And the angel told him, says, "This is a similitude of my of the sacrifice of my only begotten." We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first time that we see the gospel being preached, being expressed. This gospel talks about the sacrifice of the only Son of the Lord God, who came to this earth, presented himself of his own free will, that man might have communication with God. You'll find that similar experience with Paul on his road to Damascus experience. The Lord shook him to his very fiber and asked him to quit persecuting him. If you look in the Book of Mormon, you'll find a young man named Alma that listened to the words of Abinadi. And he was obedient to those words. And he saved a people by preaching those very words. This gospel isn't something that we need to hold close and dear. We need to share it to those who do not know it. And you too can experience that same spirit that I experienced in Temple City, California, and have experienced since. But that same spirit that will draw you on your journey into this gospel. Now, there's much more to my journey that I could talk about, but I want to focus on what is important for this service this morning. Along with the promise that I've read to you, there are words of caution to those men who are going to be ordained this morning. Section 83, verse 6G. Therefore, all those who receive the priesthood receive this oath and covenant of my Father, which he cannot break, neither can it be moved. This isn't something that you walk away from. This which you accept today and that which you will receive by the hands of those who ordain you, you cannot walk away from. But whoso breaketh his covenant after he hath received it and altogether turneth therefrom shall not have forgiveness of sins in this world nor in the world to come. There are many, well, I can't say many. There are men that have chosen that path in their life, and they have that promise, if you will. Don't be those men. And now I give unto you a commandment. Beware concerning yourselves. Give diligent heed to the words of eternal life, for you shall live by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. I cannot think of anything that's more inclusive. Brothers, I implore you to study, to find yourselves to be approved. Dive into your scriptures and understand why Adam first taught his children the gospel. Understand why King Benjamin told his people, he says, and behold, I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are in the service of God. And that goes out to everybody. Study out and understand the Apostle Paul's road to Damascus experience. I commend to those men who are being ordained to the Aaronic ministry the seventh chapter of the book of Moroni. Now, it's no strange thing to me that God has felt led to direct our dear brother to read the call to worship this morning. That is directly speaking about angels and their ministry. When you hold the keys to the ministering of angels, you hold that same authority. And that authority means that you are obligated to go out and preach this gospel of repentance to all who will listen. But you need to live it too. And to our elder, to our brother who will soon become an elder, you need to search out what it means to hold up the keys to the ministries of the kingdom. Repentance was my response to this word and this gospel. And it is our response to the Word of God causing us all to move towards Him. We step out in faith, laying hold to the promises of God. And this from the section 83, "For the word of the Lord is truth. And whatsoever is truth is life. Whatsoever is light is spirit, even the spirit of Jesus Christ. And the spirit giveth light to every man that cometh into the world. And the spirit enlighteneth every man through the world that hearkeneth to the voice of the spirit. And everyone that hearkeneth to the voice of the spirit cometh unto God, even the Father. And the Father teacheth him of the covenant which he hath renewed and confirmed upon you, which is confirmed upon you for your sakes, and not for your sakes only, but for the sakes of the whole world. And the world lieth in sin and groaneth under the darkness and under the bondage of sin." You men that will soon be in the ministry, this is your opportunity to preach that gospel to a world that's in sin and that is crying for the hope, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit speak to your hearts and confirm these words which I have uttered. Preach repentance unto salvation to the souls who stand in need. Speak the truth in love and always be ready to give a response of the joy that you have in your heart. Once again, those in the audience, I implore you to invite these ministers into your home to have firsthand testimony of their love for you and for their love of the gospel. And I pray the Lord shall bless you and those to whom you shall minister, and especially those who know not of this gospel. May the good Lord add his blessing to you this day. Amen.
We'd ask the three brethren who are going to be ordained to come up and take their seats, along with the ministers who are to be involved in the ordinations. Of Richard Sanders to the office of Elder will be by 70 Nathan Shear and Elder Alan Owens and Dan Shear. Elder Dan Shear.
Eternal Heavenly Father, it is a joy in our heart that we come before Thy throne of grace at this time, rejoicing for this opportunity to not only be a part of this service, but to be a witness of the working of your Spirit in this day in which we live. And we marvel at it, Father, and we recognize the need for it. And even now, we would uphold our brother, that you would be not only mindful of him, but of his family, that you would help him as he does truly magnify the calling and the gifts and talents that you placed within him, that truly your work might continue to go forward in great measure and abundance, that you might be glorified and that your people might be fed, and that those who are not acquainted with thy gospel may once again hear thy gospel and rejoice in it. So, Father, we just praise you and thank you and pray those things we do at this time are acceptable and pleasing unto thee. And I would ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come before you, thanking you for the restoring the gifts and the ordinances in your church in these last days, restoring this gospel of your kingdom. Lord, we know that in and of ourselves we are nothing. We know that it is only in and through your Son, Jesus Christ, that all things can be accomplished. And so, Lord, at this time, we lay our hands upon Richard, ordaining him to be an elder in your church, to preach repentance to this people and to the people around him, that they might come to a knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, and receive a redemption of their sins through faith on him. Lord, we would ask that you might give him those keys, that he might be able to go forward and be a testimony, and to testify to those around him of the truthfulness of your gospel. Lord, we would ask that you might guard him and protect him as he goes about doing your will, and that you might comfort his family in those times that he may be gone. And all these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Uh, The ordination of Brother Richard Adams to the office of priest will be by Elder Alan Owens and assisted by Elder Dan Shear and Elder Fred Stewart.
Eternal Father, once again we rejoice for this opportunity we have to come before Thee and continue in this service of ordination, and even on behalf of our brother Richard, we praise You, Father, and thank You. We thank You for his life and the testimony that he has offered already and his willingness to serve and even serve in this new capacity as a priest in Thy church. Be with him as he ponders that responsibility and those things that we required of him, and as he magnifies that calling. And Father, I just rejoice and praise You at this time. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, I do want to thank You, Lord, for the many blessings. And I thank You for our brother Richard. He has always been there when You need him. And I just pray that You be with him as he serves the priest, that he will be led by Thee always, and that he will always continue his great love for Your people. I ask that You would especially be with each one of us, that we will support him. And I just want You to know, Lord, that we do love him and support him very much. These things we would ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father, I count it a great honor and a privilege this morning to be a part of this ordination of Richard to the office of priest. And dear Father, this morning as I was pondering this and I thought back to a testimony years ago of a dear brother from our congregation by the name of D.R. Hughes. And as he left this earth, one day he came back and visited his dear wife, Sadie. And he told her that he was in heaven and that he was teaching the same gospel in heaven that he had taught here on earth. So what we are about is eternal and forever. And dear Heavenly Father, we would humbly pray that You would give Richard the strength that he will need to serve faithfully in this office. For he is to preach, teach, and exhort, and to teach nothing but repentance unto this generation. So at this time, dear Heavenly Father, by the authority that is given through You, I would adore Richard to the office of priest. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
At this time, we'll ordain Brother Brian Perry to the office of deacon by Elder Alan Owings and Elder Richard Sanders.
Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, come before You this day, Lord, thankful for the many blessings You've given to us. Thankful, Lord, that we live in a time and we worship in a church where through Your power and Your spirit You still call men to Your ministry. And it's only through You, Lord, and the gifts and blessings that You give to us are we made worthy to stand in Your Son's stead. As You are not a respecter of men, it is not for us to know why You call us, but only to accept that calling. I come before You this day, Lord, on behalf of my brother Ryan. That You will bless him and sanctify him in this office. That You will give him guidance and direction. That You will strengthen him. That You'll give him the courage to be valiant in that testimony. You'll give him the strength that he may testify of you not only with your words but by his actions, and that through your blessing he can be a mighty witness for you, Lord, amongst his family and his friends. I pray that your Spirit will abide with him all of his days, that he will be found often seeking you in your words, that he'll pray for you, for your counsel, and that he'll realize it is through you and only you that this authority comes. I pray that you help him, guide him in his decisions, and bless him in his life. And I pray these things in your Son's holy name, even Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, once again, as we approach your sacred throne, it is with great joy and honor that we are allowed the privilege to lay our hands upon Brian. As we have watched the growth from a young child into a young man, it's extremely exciting to watch him become a member of your priesthood. And as a deacon, one of his responsibilities is to meet the needs of the body, to be in the homes, to know the needs, to be in the congregation, and to know the needs. There is no greater joy than to be a deacon and to know the people and to be able to greet them at the door. So once again, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here this day with our young brother. And we would humbly pray that you would bless him and guide him, that his life might be pure and sanctified and kept clean from the things of the world that seeks to destroy us, that he might be ever found in service throughout his life, putting you first. So once again, it is my privilege to ordain Brian to the office of deacon in Jesus Christ's holy church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Executive privileges, as some people have called it. 1963, I was ordained to the office of priest. My father had been an asthma patient for many years at that time, even. But I was married. My wife one night woke up and gasping for air. And I told her, I said, lay down, honey. Put my arms around her and I prayed for her. She was asleep before I was. Through the power of a ministry of angels. Closing hymn number 487, Brother Brian Perry, deacon, will bring us our benediction.
Was in the Spirit, angel deep.
bow with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for all the blessings that you've given us today. I thank you for letting your spirit come down and dwell with us. And I just ask that you please help us take all these words that we've heard to heart. And just please help us to do them and to do your will. And just please keep us safe everywhere we're going today. And just thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.